Welcome to Just James's podcast. Scooby doo doo, wobbity wow, Ben and Mariah. Wow. With Thomas, definitely not Timothy. Yeah! Nailed it.
Hello, everybody. Welcome back to Just James. It's your host, James. I have my beautiful plant Thomas with me. I went away on a girly weekend with three girlfriends. And I swear, oh, somebody's talking really loudly outside my flat. Sorry if you can hear that. Hopefully they're not knocking my door. Anyway, sorry, weird timing. So I went away on a girly weekend and I came back. And Thomas has decided to be the most beautiful, thriving plant of all freaking times. I don't know if he's showing off. I don't know if the fact that I went away made him fabulous. I don't know if the fact that, I don't know what it is. He's like grown a foot taller. He's massive. He's huge. He's gorgeous. I don't know what's going on with him. He looks fabulous. So he is honestly living his best life at the moment. And it's getting colder. It's getting wintry now. I'm going to start changing all the soil in my plants. I always do this in winter and gives my plants a really good opportunity to sort of recover from all the growth in summer, from the sunshine, when they're all thriving and having flowers and just looking gorgeous. Winter, I change out their soil and give them a lot of like nutrients so that they can just sort of like recover. And for me, I feel that that really makes a difference with my houseplants. And when by the time summer turns around, they've got the nutrients to make it through a really, really good summer. So Thomas will get some new soil soon. He'll be beautiful. But all is good. It's so funny. I went on a girly weekend. We went to the Cotswolds, which is somewhere in England. I don't know where it is. And then on the Saturday, we drove 2 hours to go through to Bath, which is probably one of the most beautiful cities, for the Christmas market. And I was going to meet up with my cousins. And unfortunately, because there's a stupid tube and train and bus strike in the UK, it affected those plans. And I was unable to see my family that had come over from America. Because there's also so many of them that were together that they just wouldn't have fitted into a car to come through. And there was a baby and a car seat and. So it just didn't really work out that I got to see my family. But it's definitely inspired me. I think it's time I need to go to America and see my beautiful friends, my conundrum queen, Michelle, and her husband, Sean, and their little dog, Dabney. And, of course, my cousins. And I have a couple of friends in the States that I really haven't seen since I worked on cruise ships. So I think it's time I make a plan and go on a holiday. I need a holiday anyway. So I think next year might be the time for a little bit of a destination trip by the sounds of it. So talking about my beautiful friends, I've been so spoiled by Michelle this year and Sean, of course. Honestly, I'm blown away. The kindness and generosity that my friends have is just I don't even have the words. I'm so grateful, and I'm not just grateful because they send me the most incredible gifts, but I'm grateful for the friendship that I've built with them. And you know, we've been friends now for probably 13 years, and it just grows from strength to strength. And I really do adore them, and they've handmade a cutting board for me. And I mean, it's not like a piece of wood that they've just like cut in a square and been like, ta-da. They've taken different brands of wood and made like little squares and glued all these little squares together and then made them into like a board and then cut it down and sanded it down and put it in like oils and put it in beeswax. I mean, I've got the little list of everything that has been done with it, and I don't have it on me. But and then they've like had a dog shaped brand made, and they've branded into this board. It's absolutely spectacular. It's one of the most beautiful things I think I've ever owned, genuinely in my life. It is absolutely spectacular, and I'm going to cry because I'm going to cherish this for the rest of my life. It is such a thoughtful present, and it means so much to me that I'm really, oh, I'm crying. I'm really thankful. So, Mish, I know you listen to my podcast, and I just want to thank you. It's beautiful, and it's come at a time that I actually really needed something special. So, thank you. Oh, I'm crying now. It's ridiculous. Thank you, Mish. It's very beautiful. And Sean, if he's listening to it, Sean, thank you. I'm a spoiled girl. Very, very spoiled. I really, really, really value. I can't stop crying. I think I'm over emotional and tired, and I'm using it as an excuse, but yeah, it's a beautiful present. Thank you. So I went on a girls' weekend, and we stayed in this little cottage in the Cotswolds. It was lovely. They had a little hot tub. I'm absolutely phobic of water, as you guys know. It takes me a lot to get into water. And so I didn't climb in the hot tub. The first night the girls climbed into it, it was so cold. It's one of those hot tubs that's heated with fire. No, what am I talking about? So the first night, the lovely owner had phoned us in the day and said he'll get the hot tub ready for us. But by the time we actually got in, it was after 10 p.m. and it was a bit cold. So it had definitely died down. And then the second night, we had driven to Bath, come back, had a couple of drinks at the pub, and then the girls got home. When we got home, the girls put the fire on. And of course, it didn't have enough time to get hot. But they braved it for an hour. And I'm very impressed that they did it. But one of the other girls we were with, there were four of us, she wasn't very keen for the hot tub. And I was quite grateful, actually, that she didn't want to go in, because then I could be like, I'll stay with you so you're not by yourself. But I do have an immense fear of water. It's irrational. I know that. I know there's nothing in a hot tub. There's no sharks in a hot tub. But my fear is there. And it can sometimes make me feel uncomfortable, because I feel like people think I'm being like unsocial, or I'm not like getting involved, or I always make a joke of it, be like, oh, if I want a bath with my friends, I'd run a bath. But there is a fear, and it does make me uncomfortable. It does make me anxious, and I'm quite glad that the other girl didn't want to get in as well. So it really helped me out. And then the following night, they sort of really took the time and got the hot tub going, and then it was a bit warmer from what I believe. But the two nights I didn't get into, which I was quite glad not to. But what I did do is, where we were staying, they didn't have a shower, but they had this like, what is it? Is it like a clawfoot bath? I don't know what it's called. Like, you know, it's got the little legs and then the big white bath, a very lovely bath. But it had like a shower head on it, but you couldn't actually shower. So you either stood in the bath like and hand showered, or you had a bath. What I did is eventually I just sat down and like bathed, you know, showered sitting down, if that makes sense. But I'd got into to stand up and shower, and then realized it was a little bit colder than I thought it was. So I was down on my hands and knees. I was like hunched down, and I was shaving. And then I thought, oh, it's going to be so much easier if I just sit down. So I kicked my leg forward, and the plug is a silver plug that you press down or press up. You like clip it, and then you like doot doot. I don't know how to explain it. You like press it down, and then it stays down, and you double click it, and then it comes up again. But I knocked my middle toe on this little round disc of a plug. And can I tell you how sore my toe is? It's purple. I think I've actually broken the tip of my toe. I can't touch it. It's so sore to touch, but I can't feel like a broken bone, if that makes sense. I've just really lobbied this thing really hard. And all weekend, my toe throbbed. I think I spoke about it on Saturday, and then said, all right, time to wind your neck in. You're not going to talk about your sore toe anymore. But jeez, all weekend, my toe has been purple. Purple. So I don't know if I've broken it. I don't know what I've done to it. But I've done something to my toe, whatever it is. I don't know. But Sunday morning, we went into one of the local towns. I want to say it's Morden, but I don't think that's what it is. Morton, Mordor, I don't know. We went somewhere. I went to this lovely little coffee shop. It was like the number one coffee shop. So we're like, well, we have to go to the number one coffee shop. I'd ordered Eggs Benedict, and I asked for bacon instead of ham. And my friend had asked for Eggs Benedict, just standard, but the hollandaise on the side. And then one of my other friends had ordered something else. So it was just the three of us for breakfast. So the lady came out. She had my one friend's order and then one of our Eggs Benedict. And she went Eggs Benedict with sauce on the side. So my friend went, that's mine. So she handed it to her. And as she had a look at it, it was mine. It had very clearly had bacon on it and sauce over it. So she handed it to me. When the girl came out a second time with her order, she went Eggs Benedict with bacon and continued with the incorrectness. But it was so clear that she had the wrong plates. And the fact that I now had the Eggs Benedict with the bacon in front of me on the table and her saying they're going Eggs Benedict with bacon, it was so funny how she just stuck to it. She absolutely kept to her incorrect. She like absolutely committed to her incorrect story, but it was so funny that she absolutely had stuck to it that I found it even funnier because she just, and I don't know if she just really didn't get it that she'd gotten this thing wrong, but it was really, really funny that she had like literally messed it up so badly and then just committed to the incorrectness, and that was the end of it. So it was really, really funny. Anyway, but I always thought about moving to the country. You know, I think as I'm getting older, I'm definitely less and less concerned about being in the city, being around loads of people all the time. I spend more time in my home than I do anything else. And I've managed to create a business that is very home-based. I can be anywhere in the world. My dog grooming, I can't. But my opinion is anywhere I move in the world, I could start a dog grooming salon. I could go and groom sheepdogs in the country if I really wanted to. But I think there's things you have to take into consider before you maybe leave city life. And most of us do live in cities. Most of us, you know, we don't have a rural lifestyle. And if you do, I'd love to hear from you. I'd love to hear your perspective on it and what you think about rural living. But I think there's a massive adjustment from city life. I say now, oh, I'd love to live in the country. I'd love to be a farmer's wife, you know, bake pies all day and like kiss baby cows. But who knows? There is actually, at the moment, I also have, if I do want something, I can literally go to the corner shop and like get milk and bread and cheese. Whereas if you live in the country, it's not so simple if you're getting milk, bread and cheese. You know what I mean? So I think you have to consider some things before you go, especially like stocking up. I think your independence becomes a little bit better for worse. You know, if you live in a rural area or a small town, you don't have access to 24-hour convenience stores. You can't just like run down to the shop, get a Deliveroo like I do now. You know, if you run a toilet paper, you've got to take all of that into consideration. So you can't just, the convenience of just running to the store changes so dramatically. So whether it be firewood, medical supplies, gasoline, any of those things would have to be, and also weather. You know, if you're snowed in and you can't get out, you have to take all of that in consideration. Whereas in London, you literally can just go down to the store and everything's fine. So I think you'd have to be prepared. You know, especially if you live miles away from people, away from hospitals, away from pharmacies, away from supplies, your home and your car will have to have first aid kits. You should have the necessary supplies for bad weather, for all of those sort of things. You're going to have to get to know your neighbors. You know, when you're in the city, we don't talk to each other. Nobody in London talks to each other. If you get on a tube and you speak to somebody, they'll be like, bloody tourist, you shouldn't be talking to me. And people roll their eyes as they walk away. They're not very friendly in London. I definitely find that the more out of London I get, the friendlier people become. But I think you'd have to sort of get to know people in your town, you know, get to know your local neighbors, your natural resources, your, you know, get involved in the little community. You know, communities outside of big cities are very proud. And I think it'd be really good to get to know your neighbors, get build relationships with everybody down the street. I think it would be a really good thing for you. And learn to conserve. You know, living away from civilization, really, you know, there's there's things that you'd have to maybe conserve and conserve energy and conserve resources, generate less waste if you possibly can, you know, do things a little bit more eco-friendly, start a compost heap or recycle, you know, combat weeds and surrounding vegetation, because you can't sort of ruin your wildlife around you, really. And you have to be a little bit more careful with like certain things that you keep around the house. And of course, you have to respect the wildlife. You when you move out of a big city, you are sharing land with bears and foxes and deers and wildlife and birds and indigenous species. And I think it's unfair of you to assume that they don't have a place in the wilderness, because they really do. So, you know, in the country, the only thing, the greatest thing you'll probably see in London is a fox occasionally, and they're very mangled and need a little bit of love. But in the country, they're actually quite pretty. And, you know, we don't have raccoons and things like that yet, but it's something that you really do have to sort of share some space with. So it's just some tips and tricks if you're looking to move to the country one day. I must say, I think in the next couple of years, I won't be in London anymore. I think it's time for me to move a little bit more rural, but I'm in no hurry either. But certainly is something that I would love to move closer to my family and move out of London. But I'm in no hurry. But I do think in the next couple of years it would be something that I would consider doing. If I had kids, 100%, I would go like tomorrow. But we'll see. I keep saying this, but I went on a lovely girls' weekend, epic girls' weekend, really chilled, really laid back. I really needed it. I needed to just be present but not feel like I had to be involved, or be involved or laugh and joke and sing in the car with the girls and drink a couple of glasses of wine and laugh. It was just a really, really great thing. It was very needed. I feel exhausted this week, but like a nice exhausted, if that makes sense. But I think girls' trips can be, I think you've got to plan it with a group of girls that are going to get along. I think if you're going to go and you're going to fight and there's going to be bitchiness and jealousy and nastiness, it's not a weekend away. Don't do things like that. So I think if you're going to make a girls' weekend away, make sure that it's a group that are going to be really good with each other. There's going to be no fighting, because the last thing you want to do is go on a girls' trip and there's fighting and tears. But, you know, they come with snags. All girls are different personalities. We all have mismatched budgets. Our expectations can be hard to meet. You know, everybody will want a perfect vacation. But I think there's some tips that can negate all of that. And I think be collaborative. There's no quicker way to hurt feelings and inflate egos and disappoint each other if people feel that decisions are being made without them. And sometimes also, if somebody's doing the lion's share of the organizing, they can sometimes feel a little bit exploited as well. So I think pinning down the dates, researching activities, making it fair. Don't let one person do all the arranging, because also then sometimes they do tend to think it's their holiday and you need to fit around them, and it can create a bit of egos, and it can piss girls off. We don't want to be told what to do all weekend. So I think if it's a collaboration, everybody, even give every person a different task, and then have one person collaborate it all in the end, can sometimes be easier. It can be fairer. It can ensure that everybody feels like they've done something. There's a bit of teamwork. And as they say, teamwork is the dream work. And then everybody puts it, so you can be like, friend A can do the flights, friend B can do the accommodation, friend C can do the car hire. So that everybody has something. And if nobody wants to do it, and there is just one person that wants to be in charge and everybody's fine with that, then that's a different situation. So this is just to keep the egos all in play. And then it doesn't feel like, you know, the one person show, if that makes sense. I don't know how to explain it. But I think discussing goals and budgets is a really important thing. You know, I think that a lavish girls' weekend of like really expensive or like cost-effective weekend are two very different things. So everybody would have a different budget. Everybody's got different interests that might be aligning. Everybody's got to think about payments and dinners and accommodation. And I think that having to know what the budget is for each person is important, or put a budget down for the trip, because you also don't want that uncomfortable position. Whereas if you're in a position that you can't actually afford it, to then have to, in a group chat, sometimes potentially be like, girls, I can't do this, or, you know, have to rein back the, you know, the plan slightly for everybody's budget. I think that has to be discussed up front, and how much is everybody willing to sort of spend on a weekend away. And I think everybody should sort of plan what sort of outfits they're going to wear. You know, if you're doing things, everybody should be on the same page about the wardrobe. You don't want some person arriving and they're in like trainers and a jumper, and everybody else is in like heels and like ball gowns. So I think having a chat amongst your friends about what sort of style of clothing you're going to wear over the weekend is really important. Cut down on luggage. Try and create like a group packing list. It can sound really, really dumb, but some girls will overpack. And if you're going on something, I'm an overpacker of note. I'm very much an overpacker. And I unpack when I get somewhere. And then as I'm wearing stuff, I pack it back away. That's how I go away. Like I can't live on a suitcase. I don't enjoy it. I feel like I'm claustrophobic. But if you're packing a car and you're traveling somewhere, all of your suitcases need to fit into that specific car. So you have to consider the fact that you can't all come with four bags, because you're never going to have enough space for it. So if you're all in agreement that everybody gets one suitcase, even if you're sharing body wash and shampoo and a hair straightener and like a hair dryer, it slows down the amount of packing and stuff that everybody's going to need. Unless you're all in very different rooms, you're paying for your own accommodation, you're all flying on your own flights, then pack what you want to pack. But if it's a local trip and you're all traveling in a car and you have to think about space, then I think it's definitely something that you need to take into consideration. I would create a WhatsApp group so you guys can share photos. You can keep track of everybody. If you lose each other on the trip, you can find each other. And you can all discuss stuff before the trip and during the trip. And then after the trip, quite honestly, I'm one to just remove myself of group chats. I hate a group chat. I really, really do. Because I just think that I find group chats, after a point in time, there's always drama on a group chat. Or one person's not talking to somebody else and the group chat becomes null and void. And I don't like a group chat. I hate a group chat. But I like a group chat when it comes to like an event or something that you can all just talk to each other and get it done and dusted. I think there's another thing that you need to do is discuss girl code before you guys go out. You know, it's mates before dates. You don't want to sort of like go out on the first night, somebody potentially sleeps with somebody or goes home with somebody or wants to bring somebody back to your room, you're sharing. I think that especially if there's alcohol involved, you should determine who's the designated driver, who's the sober voice of reason. Have safety first. Everybody pair up if you have to. Make sure that your buddy is safe. I think it's really, really important to make sure that all of your friends are safe when you're going out. You're not just letting a friend go home with a random person that you don't know where they are. Nobody knows where they are. If anything happened to them, I think it's really, really important that you know where all your friends are at all times on a girls' trip. And be flexible, especially with timing. You know, you can all plan certain things for the majority of the days, or be like, right, we're going to do this we're going to leave tomorrow at 9 o'clock in the morning. And then, you know, sometimes when you all got to get ready and share bathrooms and eat something and sometimes keeping to a very specific itinerary is not always possible. So I think you have to be slightly flexible, that not everything might always go your specific way, especially if you're the one organizing something. Yes, if there's like an activity that you have to be at on time, then you do expect everybody to be there on time. But, you know, if you're running 10, 15, 20 minutes later than what you wanted to leave, and there isn't actually a set time there to be somewhere, I think flexibility is a really good thing. It can create fights, and it's unnecessary for a trip. I think schedule at least one dedicated bonding session, so it's easy to get caught up with the rapture of traveling and spending quality time on a girls' trip can actually be something that's a really, really good thing. So even if you and just one other person, whether it be your best friend or one of the girls, separates and goes on a little shopping trip or spa, I think breaking up the team a little bit and maybe in smaller groups and just penciling a little bit of like smaller bonding time with other friends on it can be really good. It can be really distracting. Also, when there's a big group of you all the time, it's a lot of personalities. It's a lot of stimulation consistently. And sometimes some of your friends might just need a little bit of like stepping away and like separating and just sort of finding a little bit of like less personalities in one space. It can be really helpful on a girls' trip. And sometimes that friend might just need a little bit of distractions, or maybe just want to be with her closer friend or things like that. It's really, really important. But I think at the end of the day, you have to go with the flow. So despite all the efforts, I think despite all the bonds, besides all the spats, if there are any, it's human nature for there to always be a little bit of disagreement. But I think the key is to not let it affect the overall tone on the trip. If there is fighting, if you're very fortunate, like we, you know, we were with my girlfriends and trips I've done before where there are no fights, there are no egos, it was just a fun weekend away, then luckily there's nothing to worry about. But I think that if there is that sort of level of maybe a little bit of egos or fighting or things that, you know, have gone wrong on the trip, is to just go with the flow and actually just have fun. You know, just don't let it go. Don't let it get too hard. Don't let it get too stressful, because the whole point of the trip was to actually have some fun with your friends. And that can sometimes be lost in translation. And if you've had a wonderful weekend and a boozy weekend at that, then I think there's some rapid recovery things that you can consider, like drinking loads of water, you know, whether it be, you know, drinking warm water with lemon in it first thing in the morning, or drinking coconut water can really help calm down from the long trip, from all the boozy, from all the things that happen on the trip. Get some electrolytes in you. It's a good thing to sort of maybe consume some food with some potassium, like bananas, after a heavy weekend or heavy trip. Eating a little bit healthier the week when you get back, just to help with the digestive system. You know, you've had loads of restaurant meals out. You've had like things that maybe you wouldn't have normally eaten, lots of crisps, packets, chips, booze. You know, there's things that we tend to overindulge on a trip away. So when you come back, I always try and have like a really healthy week, lots of vegetable soup, some stir fries. I'm going to do a light curry this week. Tonight I'm going to do, I'm actually, tonight's not a really healthy one. I'm doing honey mustard chicken with rice and green beans. But I'm definitely like not eating unhealthily this week as well. I think you can get some 5-HTP, which is something that I actually take every day. And it's a really, really good tablet. You can buy it from your pharmacy. I'm not recommending medication by any means. So please speak to your doctor, speak to your pharmacist, speak to your healthcare provider before you take any new medication that doesn't potentially suit your body, your diet, your plan. I take this because it actually helps build blocked serotonin. So I really struggle with mood swings, and I flip from really angry to really fine really quickly. It's almost like a little bit of like, I'm not bipolar in any possible way, but my I can be triggered really quickly, and I can lose my temper very fast. So this just helps to moderate on a natural level the signals between my nerves. It just helps with my serotonin. It helps with like my mood swings. So I find this really, really useful. Exercise is really good, especially after like a busy weekend. You know, you've been doing a lot of things with your friends. You've had a really partying weekend, very heavy weekend. Sometimes you just need to just get some, like, get all the toxins out of your system, sweat them out, go and get some exercise. It's a really good thing. And I think recovering from a party is a marathon. It's not a sprint. So you, my laptop's reading adverts. Sorry about that. So just things that are really going to help you just come back from a long weekend. I'm suffering with headaches this week. It's definitely because I've had a lot more like unhealthy foods. I've had a lot of snacks. I haven't drunk enough water. All of those things affect after a boozy girly week in a way. So definitely, definitely take that in consideration. I'm still doing some of the cleaning tips. I have to admit, I've lost the DIY Christmas gifts website that I was getting tips from, but I'll do it again next week because I think there was only 40 more anyway, and I've got two more podcasts left for the year. So I'll do the next 2 weeks, I'll do two more DIY gifts and not do it this podcast. But one of the things you can do to keep dirt out of the house, and I'm, you know me, I don't like mud, I don't like debris, I don't like people walking on my carpets with shoes on. So I think dust coming into your house, it's a really good idea to get a good dirt trapping doormat. So, and then you can whack the dust off that and vacuum it weekly. But doormats these days are machine washable. You can pick it up, you can put it in the machine, especially with winter coming, the snow coming, the really shitty weather coming, all the rain. And it might be a really good way. So if you can get them to trap the dirt at the door and take their shoes off at the door, you have less dirt in the house to clean. It's a very simple one, very easy one, great one to remember. And when you're using bleach, one of the common errors is always use cold water, because hot water can render the active ingredients ineffective. I don't know if you knew that. So if you're cleaning anything with bleach, always clean with cold water, not with hot water. So just a little tip while you're using your bleaches. So this last week's conundrum, the answers that you guys gave were hilarious. And Michelle, my conundrum queen, wrote out her mind thinking of how she got to her answer. She unfortunately wasn't right, but I loved the amount of detail that went into her trying to find the answer for it. And the question was, what is next in the sequence? JFMAMJJASON. And the answer is the letter D. And the reason for that is J is January, F is February, M is March, A is April, M is May, J is June, J is July, A is August, S is September, O is October, N is November, and the D is December. So I didn't get it. Nobody got it right, but I absolutely loved your thinking behind it. And it was spectacular. It was so thought out as to what the answer for that might be. And I applaud the efforts of how you guys actually got to that this week. So this one of my listeners DM me, they didn't get the answer right, but they asked me to look at the world's oldest riddle and didn't say any more than that. Just said, go have a look at it. It's really interesting. So I thought, well, let's do it this week. So it says, every 4,000 years, people tested one another's critical thinking skills with riddles and logical puzzles. This ancient civilization, located in what is today's the country of Iraq, left us with one of the earliest known examples of a written riddle. So it's an ancient summer, is also the civilization of the oldest surviving writing system that we know of. And here is the riddle. So if you want to send me your answers to Just James Podcast on my Instagram, which is just_James_podcast, then I would love to hear what you guys think the answer to this is. But this is the world's oldest riddle that seems to be in existence. And it says, there is a house. One enters it blind and comes out seeing. What is it? There is a house. One enters it blind and comes out seeing. What is it? So send me your answers. I'd love to hear them, guys. I don't have a new social media following for this week. I was so busy last week, and then I went away for the weekend. And I must admit, I'm not following anybody new at the moment. So if you want to look for somebody great to follow on TikTok, follow myself. I'm trying to put more TikToks up. I'm trying to get better at it. I'm not great at it, but I am trying. So you can find me Jambug, JAMBUG, and then a little underscore, JAMBUG, and a little underscore after that, Jambug. You can have a look at the little TikTok we made on my girls' weekend this weekend. It was great. And you can have a look at the beautiful board that Sean and Michelle made for me. I have put a TikTok up on that. It's just spectacular. So guys, have a wonderful week. It is often the small steps, not the giant leaps, that bring about the most lasting change. And let's take little steps this week. We're getting closer to Christmas. We're getting closer to the end of the year. We can see that holiday break coming our way. And I just hope you guys have a wonderful week. And I can't wait to chat to you again next week. Goodbye.
They're the two best friends that anyone can have. They're the two best friends that anyone can have. They're the two best friends that anyone can have. Just James and Thomas the Plant.